I'm going to read a verse. Let's see. Well, I just happened to open the book at somewhere, just opened it. And it just happened to be chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, verse 29, which is a special verse in Bhagavad Gita. So looks like it's Krishna's arrangement. Let us read this verse. Well, first of all, you can repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yes, so Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5. Verse 29. Yeah. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. Translation. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material misery. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. That is fairly long purport. I'll just read part of it, I think. Yeah. The conditioned souls within the clutches of illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities, men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shvetashvata Upanishad, chapter 6, verse 7, the Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Yes, for anyone who'd like, we have beautiful, comfortable carpet here. It is just wonderful. If anyone would like to sit here, just, you would be welcome. Let me read the verse again. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam yadvam mam shantim richati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Okay, let us say a few words on this. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namare Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastitiyadesha Tarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Anchakapatarubhyas chakripas sinindirubhyevacha patitanam bhavarebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna devotees of ISKCON Mir Bank. And we see we have devotees from other parts of the world also. We have devotees from Lotus Park. It's almost another country. We have devotees from Chatsworth Unit 7. Oh, even further. Yes? Oh, we have devotees from Shellcross too. It's truly an international society for Krishna consciousness. Anyway, seriously though, this is a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada referred to this verse as the peace formula. The peace formula. As Prabhupada said at the beginning of the purport, in this world people are looking for peace. Nobody likes to be disturbed in anxiety and under stress. Nobody likes that. But in this material world, unfortunately, you probably noticed all that type of stress and anxiety, etc. It's very prominent. Very prominent. If you're at school, then there's stress. Will I pass the exams? Am I right? Yeah. Particularly Afrikaans. Will I pass? Oh. And then you graduate from school, you go maybe go to university, and there it's more stress. You have to study even more. And then you complete that, hopefully. And then you have to go to work. And then it's even worse. At least when you're at school or university, you get like 2 or 3 months a year holiday. Not when you go to work. So people are struggling. People are struggling. And they're not peaceful. They're really not peaceful. And of course, we can point out different reasons for that. I mean, the people can point out different reasons. Financial problems, political problems. You know who's president in America? Anyway, say no more. I don't know what's worse, president of America or president of South Africa. But either way, oh gosh, Hare Krishna. So people, if you ask them, why are you not peaceful? They'll point out different things. Financial reasons, health reasons perhaps, work reasons, maybe family reasons. You know, it depends. Different people are facing different challenges. But generally everyone is facing challenges. And they will analyze in these types of terms like I just mentioned. You know, old age is coming. It's a problem. Yeah. So, but here Lord Krishna is explaining the three main reasons why people are not peaceful. Or you could, if you take it from the other perspective, he's describing the three things that must be there if you're going to become peaceful. Yeah. And without which, even if you're very wealthy and influential, and even if you were king of Mirbank, still you wouldn't be peaceful if you don't have these three things. And they're the real, these are the things that matter. The other things, they're not, you know, financial and all that, and health. They're not really so important. But they're these three things. They really are important. And when you have these three things, then even if you don't have much money, even if you don't have good health, even if you don't have a good job, even if your family is causing you some anxiety, etc., these things, even if these things are there like that, these worldly things, problems, but if you have these three particular points that Krishna has described, then even if otherwise your situation is not so good, but if you have these three things, you'll be peaceful. Yeah. If you don't mind me giving myself as an example, talking about financial problems, I have not worked. No graft. No graft, except. No graft for more than 44 years. Can you believe it? I'm serious. I moved into the temple in London on January the 7th, 1973. Yeah, and I haven't worked since then, right to this very day. So I don't earn any money. Nothing. I don't pay any tax because I don't earn any money. But, you know, seriously, I feel very peaceful actually, and satisfied and contented, really. Actually, it's wonderful. It's amazing. And that's because in the lives of the devotees, those who are trying to practice seriously, these three things which Krishna mentions, the peace formula, these three elements in the peace formula, they are there. So what are these three? Krishna says here, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. That's number one. Bhoktaram means enjoyer. Enjoyer. So Krishna is saying, anyone who recognizes me, Krishna, as the enjoyer of, well, of everything really, but he specifically says, Yajna Tapasam. Yajna means sacrifice. Tapasa means austerity, like that. That one who recognizes, accepts that Krishna is the enjoyer of these things, sacrifice, austerity, such a person can be peaceful. Now, some people would think that when Krishna says yajna, sacrifice, he is referring to some like ritualistic performance. You know what I mean? Ceremony, religious ceremony. That's something like that. But actually, this idea of sacrifice, it is much broader than just doing some prayer, you know, having a priest and having a fire sacrifice and chanting some mantras. It's much broader. Let me help you to appreciate this point, because it's very important. I think some of you today were working, not me, as I said already, but I think some of you were working. Am I right? Put your hand up if you don't mind. If you were working today, we have here, oh, it's like half the assembly or something, like at least maybe slightly more of you were at work. And, you know, when you're at work, generally, I mean, it may vary from situation to situation, but in many cases, people are not so happy to have to work hard. How many of you at the end of the month, it's today, look at that. How many of you at the end of the month, when they come to pay you, how many of you feel, no, I don't want to be paid, because I'm just so happy doing this. It is my good fortune to be able to work here. I don't need money. And, you know, why don't they open the factory or the office or the place where you work? Why don't they open it earlier? Because I want to get there earlier and do more work because it's so nice. And why do they close it in the evening? Why can't they let me continue because it's so nice? You understand? You follow? None of you have ever thought like that. I don't think. I'm sure. But it's like, you know, we gotta work. What can we do? Gotta earn some money to live. We're forced to. So what my point here is that all those hours, all that energy you're giving to working, it is a type of sacrifice. You follow? You are sacrificing your time. It is your time. You could have used it for something else, something nice. But no, you had to sacrifice it to work because you need to survive. So you follow? Even work is a form of sacrifice. sacrificing time and energy just to live. And tapasya, austerity. You might think austerity would mean something like not eating. We will not eat. We will not sleep. This is austerity. But, of course, it is austerity. But there's a broader understanding of austerity. And even your work is probably also an austerity that you have to do, even though you don't like it. And Friday afternoon comes and you feel how nice. And you don't feel how terrible. I can't work tomorrow. Shame. So sacrifice austerity. All of our work, all of the special efforts we have to make just to keep ourselves and our families going. This is what Krishna is referring to. He's also referring to like religious rituals, but also these other types of activities. And what does Krishna say here? That he should be the enjoyer of those. Yes. All those efforts you're making, actually, ideally, it should be dedicated for his pleasure. You know, a practical application of this would be that you work and you earn and you get your money. And then, of course, well, you have to maintain your family, maintain them as devotees. So they eat prasadam, provide, you know, transport so they can go to the program. Use your money from all that hard work which you struggled to do. Use that money for Krishna conscious things and purchase things like when new books come out and other types of Krishna conscious resources and facilities. Use your money for those things. Don't just use your money to get a bigger TV, 84 inch, so you can watch Kuch Kuch Hota Hai in luxury. Or, you know, it's a long story, but I looked up a few titles of some Hindi movies, just so I can mention them to Hindi people. So I found one called, you know what it was called? Hey Baby. What a name. Oh my Lord. Please save us. And I did a little research, and you know, there's sometimes they name children after actors or even after movies. I found there are a few children in India named Hey Baby. Seriously. Hey Ram, Hey Govinda, you know, Hey Gopal, Hey Baby. It's Kali Yuga. But anyway, my point is, this idea of sacrifice, austerity, giving things up so to facilitate our life, our living. This includes our working and earning money. So we should use that as much as possible for Krishna. And then we are fulfilling what Krishna says, that he is the enjoyer of our sacrifices and austerities. And then second thing Krishna mentions, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. We, in order to be peaceful, second thing we have to do, we have to be able to recognize and accept Krishna as the Lord of all planets and demigods and just the whole of existence. Krishna is the Lord. And it's not that, you know, in a particular country, some particular group of people are controlling that country. So it's like they are the lords of this country. They are the masters of this country. On a certain level, of course, that's there. That's just mundane politics. But a devotee, a peaceful person, understands and accepts at heart that it all belongs to Krishna. All of it. South Africa belongs to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. Yes. And Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and just everybody else. The moon, Mars. You hear this talk, you know, every now and then these days, they different, you know, countries say, we're going to go to the moon or to Mars or something like that. It's Krishna's moon. It's Krishna's Mars. They all belong to Krishna. Yeah. And, you know, these people, they've already messed this planet up so badly. It's a disaster. Now they're going to go to the moon and mess up the moon, or Mars, and mess up Mars. That's all they know how to do, to mess things up, really. Exploit, you know, the forests, and the animals, and just other people. Use them for us, for our so-called advantage. But actually everything belongs to Krishna. Everything should be used for Krishna. And he is really the, you could say, respectable person, that senior, higher person who's higher than us. And we should accept that and apply that in our lives. And that's the second point in the peace formula of the three. Srila Prabhupada, just, I could just mention, Prabhupada mentioned that who made the line separating, for example, South Africa from Mozambique? Who made the line? Was it Krishna? It's his planet. Was it him? No. It was some, you know, bright sparks, some materialistic people. They drew the line and they said, this is South Africa, that is Mozambique. It's just artificial, completely artificial. So that's the second part of the peace formula. And third part, this is very nice. Third part, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the benefactor and well-wisher of all living beings. Suridam, you know, in a sort of very literal sense. Well, Surit means friend. But Sukrid, Krid is the heart. Krid means the heart. And Su in Sanskrit means very, very. Su, it's a prefix of emphasis, very. Yeah, like on the altar here, on this middle step here, you see, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. Not just Bhadra, but Subhadra. Bhadra is also a name. And there's, I know at least one devotee whose initiated name is Bhadra. But Subhadra means very Bhadra. Bhadra means auspicious. Auspicious. Very auspicious. So Sukrid, you know, in a very sort of literal sense, means very heart, very hearted, or in other words, very affectionate, very caring, like this. And therefore, Prabhupada translates as the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. This is Krishna. This is Krishna. It's not, don't tell him I said it, but it's not Mr. Zuma. He took how many millions to make his place up there, wherever it is. What's it called, that place? Ulundi. Okay, to make it nice. Lani, you want to talk about Lani? You know, you think, what's it called? Westville is Lani. Go to his place if you want to see Lani. And is he providing that for everyone? No, definitely not. He's not a well-wisher or benefactor. I remember reading maybe a year or two ago when Julius, you know who I mean, don't you? Was appearing in court, one of his many trials and tribulations. And he came to court wearing exotic Italian clothes and shoes. What do they call it? Versace, is it? Versace. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Yeah, he came in these expensive, you know, very flashy, dynamic clothes. And there was a newspaper on their little boards they put out, you know, to advertise, that now, you know, to the effect that Julius, because he's meant to be the man for the people, that, wow, you mean everyone's going to wear Versace, or whatever it's called, by his grace? No, because he's not the benefactor and well-wisher of anyone other than himself. So, but Krishna, what is Krishna doing for every, not just human being, but living entity? Every living entity? First of all, he gave us these bodies without which, you know, life in this world would be hopeless. He gave us these bodies and so much facility in this world. And Prabhupada even made the point, Prabhupada talked about elephants, that the elephant gets his food. And elephants are big. I imagine an elephant may well eat more than all of us put together every day, or I don't know, but a lot. And Prabhupada made the point, you never see a skinny elephant. You only see these big, hefty elephants. It means they're getting their food. And Prabhupada made the point, it's very important, consider this. You never see an elephant at the door of the refinery here, for example, coming to get a job. Did you hear that? People do. You see people there trying to get a job. You don't see an elephant coming to get a job so he can earn money, so he can get all this, you know, many kilos of food he needs to eat every day. and neither do you see him coming to the church or temple or even our program here. Did an elephant ever come here to pray, please give me food? No, it never, it doesn't happen. It's never happened. But you never see a skinny elephant. Why? Because Krishna's looking after them. That's why. That's actually why, in fact. And if they ever have any really serious problems, it's only because of the human beings, usually. You know, taking away their natural habitat, cutting all the trees down and destroying the forest and the jungles and everything. You follow what I mean? So Krishna is the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. And a devotee is a person who recognizes that and who's able not just to accept, but to see it, that this is actually happening, and have some feel for the hand of the Lord behind the scenes, keeping everything going, to keep everyone going, and all living entities. So then, these are the three things, devotees. Let us focus our minds on this. That we must, Prabhupada says, a person in full consciousness of me, so we have to be Krishna conscious, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. These three things, a person who is seeing life in terms of these three things, Krishna says, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. You know, Nelson Mandela became the president. Everyone, or at least so many people, great majority, were very excited and inspired. Life is going to be good. Life isn't much better now. It may be worse in certain ways. He couldn't help people. He needed help. So this is the consciousness of a devotee, seeing, understanding Krishna in these ways, and then living like that, as much as possible, trying to serve Krishna and please Krishna, and praying to Krishna, meditating on Krishna, not being too materially attached. And then one sees, like we said, behind the scenes, Krishna's hands are working. Krishna consciousness means or includes that you start becoming more able to see, or at least understand how Krishna's hands are working behind the scenes. You know the story? You know the story of when they tried to undress Draupadi? Are you familiar with that story? I don't know if you know the whole story. You know, when Krishna, just not long before that, when Krishna was insulted by Shishupal, it was they call it Rajasuya sacrifice, big ceremonial sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Krishna was there, and this person called Shishupal, who was very opposed to Krishna, he just hated Krishna. He just despised Krishna. So someone suggested, I think it was Sahadev, that in the sacrifice, the person who should sort of oversee it as the senior person should be Krishna. And everyone else said, yes, good idea. Krishna's wonderful. Everyone except Shishupal. And Shishupal started complaining, not Krishna, why Krishna? Because he started criticizing. He is like this. He is like that. And he is so much criticism. And Krishna had given Shishupal a blessing, or somehow he had been given some ashirvad, some type of benediction. You can insult Krishna 99 times, and he won't do anything, but not 100 times. So he's insulting and insulting one after the other, and Krishna was counting. And Krishna said, Shishupal, that's 80. You should stop, Shishupal. Then Shishupal, that's 90. Stop for your own good. And then 99, Shishupal, you must stop. Shishupal could not stop. And he insulted Krishna for the 100th time. And Krishna pulled out his Sudarshan Chakra. Yeah. And cut off the head of Shishupal. But the thing is this, and that's basically what happened, but if you get into it a bit, Krishna pulled out his chakra very quickly, extremely quickly. People couldn't even see. So quick. You know, like, I don't know if you ever watched any of these so-called Western movies. You know what I mean? John Wayne, that was in my youth or childhood. You know, they have these guys, they pull their guns out very quickly. Krishna pulled his Sudarshan Chakra out much more quickly. People couldn't even see it and threw it, and before they knew, you know, they could, Shishupal's head was just flying off and the chakra was returning to Krishna. But did you know that when Krishna did that, he did it so fast, he cut his finger. Did you know that? Krishna cut his finger. And Draupadi was there. They were all there. And Draupadi was there. And Draupadi saw this. And she quickly grabbed the end of her sari, ripped off, you know, some piece of cloth from the edge of her sari and wrapped it around Krishna's finger to stop the bleeding. And Krishna said, thank you very much. I will not forget that. And someday, when you need it, I will reciprocate. So that reciprocation happened at that, and the attempt at undressing Draupadi. Yeah, I think you know that story. Yudhisthira gambled and lost everything, including his wife, who then, you know, became the property of the others, the bad guys. And then it was Dushasana, one of the chief bad guys. He wanted to show off, she is ours, and you can't do anything. So he started pulling her sari off. And she was resisting, naturally, but she couldn't. Because he's like, almost like a monster, he's a giant, very powerful kshatriya warrior. So he's just pulling the sari off and she's trying to stop, but she can't. And she let go with one hand and raised that hand and called out, hey Krishna, hey Govinda. And what happened? Nothing. Except the sari kept being pulled away. And then she let go with both hands and just raised both hands and just stopped trying to struggle herself and just called out for Krishna. And that was when Krishna incarnated manifested as the endless sari. And eventually, you know, this Dushasana was just pulling and pulling and was just piling up, and he became exhausted and he had to stop. So Krishna protected Draupadi as a reciprocation for sort of, you know, helping him when he cut his finger. So also another point we learn from that, you know, we learn obviously that we should serve Krishna and do as much as we can for Krishna, and he will reciprocate that, we learn. But ladies, you know what you learn from this? You know what you learn? I'll tell you what you learn. Better to wear a sari. Better to wear a sari. Yeah. So Krishna is the benefactor and well-wisher of the devotees. And Jiva Goswami, one of our great acharyas, in one of his books, forget the name, but anyway, in one of his books, he raises a question. Raises the question, why should we surrender to Krishna? For what reason? And he suggests a few possible reasons, like Krishna's God, so we should surrender to God. But he says that's not the main reason. Because we're part and parcel of Krishna. It's our natural position. That's a good reason. But he says, no, no, that's not really it's not the main reason. And then he says, actually, the main reason we should surrender to Krishna, serve Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, the main reason is because Krishna is so kind to his devotees. So these three points are there. Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. Should be, is meant to be the enjoyer of all activities and all facilities. Second, he is the proprietor. He owns it all and he owns us. And third, but actually it's the most important, is that he is the benefactor and well-wisher of everyone, even the elephants as we mentioned, but particularly of the devotees. Particularly of the devotees. He cares for the devotees just like a good parent cares for his or her children. You know what that means. So this is the peace formula, devotees. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Any comments or questions? Because you know what I heard? I'll tell you one thing I know. I know that some of you devotees from Mirbank have been devotees a really long time. I remember coming to my first 10 campaign here, I think it was 1980, and you all were here. You were here, I remember. And there's one more, right? No, there's three, isn't there?
Veronica lost a baby in
Cato Ridge. Okay. Anyway, so but what I was going to say is, they told me, the devotees in Mirbank are very intelligent and very thoughtful and have many questions. That's what they told me. Really. Any comment or question from anyone? Anything you'd like to say? Positive, negative? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.